Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
But truth is, if you start thinking about this, we are all in a process. Some are starting, some are just beginning the process, and you're not understanding. Maybe these lights should not go off. Why is it so dark in here? And many of you all are farther along in this process. And whatever part of the process you're in, I can promise you one thing is going to happen. You can all expect to face temptation at some point in your life. Battling sin and battling temptation is typical of all that are in this Christian walk. We've been forgiven for our sins, but that doesn't mean we still won't battle against this flesh. Anybody battle against the flesh every day? Come on, everybody better get up in your hands. Battle against our sinful nature. And this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about temptation. What is temptation? What is the difference in temptation and testing? I want to give some practical steps on how to deal with it and even avoid it. But the truth is, this morning, temptation, this is the title, temptation is not a sin. Temptation is not a sin. I remember reading in the Bible, Jesus' big day, he got baptized, right? I mean, they come to the Jordan, everybody was coming down there, and Jesus was went into the water. He identified with the people around him. He went and did the same thing that they were doing. He identified, and God, when he came up out of the water, he identified him as his son, and he affirmed him as his son. It was Jesus' inauguration into his ministry. His ministry would soon begin after that day. Here's what Jesus didn't do. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't show off. He didn't make a TikTok. He didn't Snapchat. He didn't post it on Instagram. No, he immediately stepped out of the water. He stepped into his identity as the Son of God. And he started his mission to what? Fulfill all righteousness. And here's what he did. This is what's so good about Jesus. He showed that even though he was God, he was also man. Matthew 4:1. This is after Jesus' big day. Look what happened. Next chapter over. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You mean Jesus was tempted too? Absolutely. Because let me tell you what happens. The devil always tries to cause trouble after God does something big in your life. Come on, when you first get saved, he ain't really bothering you a whole lot, but you first give your life over to Jesus, man, all of a sudden you got a bullseye on your back. Let me tell you another one that's big. Giving your testimony. We've had people give their testimony and they suffer attack after attack that next week after that because he doesn't want anybody to be free by the things that set you free, right? Amen? We're most vulnerable after a successful season in our life. Look at verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days, some of us can't fast 4 hours, and 40 nights, whew, afterwards he was hungry. 40 days of no food, he was hungry. The enemy comes at you when you're at your weakest. He comes at you when you're lonely. He comes at you when you're broken. He comes at you when you're confused. And he comes at you when you are isolated. And I said this last week, a wilderness may come. John the Baptist spent 30 years in the wilderness to have 6 months of ministry. The children of Israel wandered for 40 years. There are times in our life that only the wilderness can get our attention. Us not knowing who we are causes us to wander around in circles. Anybody been wandering around in circles a lot in their life? Come on. Am I the only one? We've been spinning around, going through the same motions and figure out why things aren't changing. It's because we're still doing the same things and expecting a different result. That's insanity, right? Yeah. Us not knowing who we are causes us to wander. But if you hear what the Father says about you, if you listen to what the Father says about you, just like he said when he came up out of that water, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Can I tell you something this morning? You are his beloved and he's pleased. You got to quit listening to everything the enemy says. You are his beloved and he's pleased. I got to say that for the people in the back row. You are his beloved and he is pleased. Every time we hear of displeasure, every time we hear it's because the enemy rehearses in our minds who we used to be. He keeps bringing our past up around. And we said, how in the world could God ever be pleased with me? He is pleased. He loves you. He cares about you. And he's pleased with you. Somebody need to hear that right there. When you start hearing those words the right way, you'll follow the Spirit into the wilderness willingly. You'll know that God ain't leading you to a wasteland. He's leading you to a promised land. So many times we wander around and we don't figure out how we're going to get there, what we're doing, because we're trying to do it in our own flesh. We're trying to do it in our own. But if we follow the Spirit of God, man, Jesus was hungry. 40 days, 40 nights of no food. But the definition of temptation is this. I don't have my wife here telling me to calm down. So y'all just, if I get going too much, just go. No, don't do that. That makes me go faster. She does this. Y'all pray. I got a grandbaby coming tomorrow. Pray for Pastor Mindy. She's going to have to watch two of them for about 4 or 5 days. In Jesus' name. The definition of temptation is a strong desire to do something. Especially most of the time when it's wrong or unwise. Temptation, come on, y'all. Temptation, we talked about this in the men's group. Temptation usually comes at you in waves, right? It hits you all at once. It seems like all at once, right? All of a sudden you're doing good. Come on, can I talk to somebody this morning? You're doing good for a season. Man, I'm 3 or 4 weeks. I haven't done this. And all of a sudden, bam, 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 bam. It hits you all at once. The devil is always, you know, temptation should always alarm us that there is something demonic happening around us too. The devil's always trying to disrupt. He's always trying to alter what God is trying to do. Adam and Eve in the garden, they had everything. I mean, it was good. It was real good. But look at Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man saying, of every tree in the garden, you may freely eat. You can eat it all. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. It didn't say you're going to get sick. It said you shall surely die. He says, don't eat it. Don't touch it. Don't even go around that tree. I can imagine, man, probably should have been a force field around that tree. Don't even get near it. You ever seen the old Lost in Space? Danger, Will Robinson, danger. That's what they needed right there. There's danger around. But God did not want a bunch of robots. He didn't create us. He gave us free will and free choice. And he didn't want a bunch of yes men. He wanted us to make it the right choices. But when he gave us free will, that's the mental ability by which we deliberately choose to decide and take action on. The enemy will use our own will to influence us. Did God really say it? Come on, he said, did God surely say you would die? Is it really wrong? It's not really, come on, y'all. It's not really that bad. If you think about it, how many of y'all talked yourself into doing something you ain't supposed to be doing because you've talked yourself into something you ain't supposed to be doing? Come on, I know I'm not the only one. Because if you start reasoning in your mind about how good it can be, if you start reasoning in your mind how it can really help you out and make you feel better, you're going to probably do it. He said, has God really said? He's really good at twisting words and making you doubt. He wants you to question authority. Why? My mama always said, there ain't no why in the house. You know why? Because I said so. And she backed it up with a high heel or anything, any other weapon formed against me was going to prosper. Y'all, you don't even know how I grew up. Because God said so. Sometimes it's as simple as God says, don't do it, don't do it. I tell the story all the time. Yeah, I remember my dad told me. They had this gas heater and had the flames, the old gas heaters. And he said he watched me go over there 3 or 4 times. He's like, don't touch that. He even pulled me away from it 3 or 4 times. And finally, guess what? My loving father let me crawl, walk over there, and he let me touch it. I never touched that stove again. So many times, God's going to allow, okay, he's going to let you go, and he's going to let you go, and finally you're going to have to taste and see that that is not what you need to taste and see of. You're going to be like God. He started welling up pride. In the book of Judges, it talks about they did what was right in their own eyes. They did what they thought was right. We live in a world right now that right is wrong, wrong is right. Who knows what's up anywhere? The morality is way down. They did what they thought was right in their own eyes. The temptation is what we decide, is what we decide. And listen again, temptation is not a sin. Giving into it and acting is the sin. And we start talking about big temptations, and I didn't even write them down because y'all know what the ones, oh, don't. But how about you're tempted to tell a white lie? My wife says there ain't no such thing as a white lie. Let me tell you what, there is no such thing as a white lie. It's a lie. But you're tempted to bend the truth, probably because I said this, that baby is so cute. It was not cute. It was an ugly baby. But we're tempted to say things. Have you ever caught yourself at the very end of it going, man, I probably embellished on that just a little bit. Okay, I'm going off for I need salvation myself. You know, are you tempted? This is just another small thing. I'm trying to bring out the small temptations. I think we all kind of know the big ones. But are we tempted to take something that's not ours and keep something that's not ours? How about if somebody ever gave you back the wrong change, did you give it back? Come on, I'm just trying to be a little practical here. I remember I told the story before. If you hear it, you're going to hear it again. There was two packages of ranch in the bottom of my cart. And when I got out there, I was like, it wasn't in the bag, they were in the bottom of my cart. And I wondered, did I pay for that? I looked at my receipt, there were 79 cents. And the lady, I went back in there, I said, ma'am, I didn't get charged for these ranch. She said, you're actually coming back in here for those two packages of ranch? I said, ain't no ranch going to cause me to go to hell. Now, maybe some prime rib, but no, I'm kidding. That's a joke. But are we entertaining the enemy? Do we invite him in? Isolation opens a lot of doors. Somebody's got to hear this. Opens a lot of doors. And my wife always says, when the enemy isolates, he dominates. He always is trying to pull, especially Christian people, away from the church, away from your crews, away from your friends. And he's trying to pull you into a dark place where you feel like you're the only one going through it. Come on. I'm the only one. Oh, I must be only just be me. And then y'all remember the comedian Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. Really? No, he didn't. Let me read it to you. James 1:14. James, the book of James. You got to read it. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away, I'm gonna paraphrase, or listens to his own desires and is enticed and attracted to do those things. Bug's Life. Harry, don't go near the light. Oh, it's so beautiful. Y'all seen that movie? If didn't, you need to watch it. It's good. Bug's Life. Harry, don't go near that light because it looks good. But what's at the end of that light when you touch it is death. So many times we're attracted to the wrong things. We're attracted to wrong relationships. Come on, I'm going to tell you something right now. We're drawn to addictions. And the first thing we start talking about is addictions to substance or something like that. We're drawn to approval. Come on, do you have to have everybody like you? You want everybody to accept you? So you change you to get everyone else to accept you. There's a popular song with lyrics that says you can be addicted to a certain kind of sadness. I don't even know who sings this. Jay gave it to me. Thank you, Jay. But you can be addicted to your negative thoughts. Come on, we live in a world right now where most of our thoughts are negative. Most of our thoughts are depleting. Most of our thoughts are taking us down the wrong way. And so many times we get addicted to feeling sorry for ourselves. Come on, that'll preach right there. Woe is me. Nobody knows what I'm going through. I'm not diminishing that, but sometimes you have to go forward out of that. You can't blame everybody else for all of your problems. Listening to and being attracted to the wrong people, the wrong things, will cost you. There are consequences. Verse 15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. It starts with a thought, starts with a tiny seed, and it starts to grow like a baby in the womb. Then it gives birth to sin, to addiction, to spiritual, and even physical death can come out of it. Again, I'm telling you, temptation is not a sin. Giving into it and acting on it is. When we talk about tempting, we talk about testing. But James 1, 2, and 3 says this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. James, what's the matter with you? I'm supposed to be happy? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Anybody need any patience in the house? I need a double dose this morning, Lord. Sometimes I just get around people, I have a lot of patience. I honestly have the patience of Job. If I did, I would probably kill some people. But tests move you from one grade and one level to another. You can't be in elementary school your whole life. You got to go past eighth grade. So many times we're stuck. Oh, Jesus. We can't ever do this. And God has called us to move from one level of faith to another level of faith. If you're still in the same process you were in 10 years ago, something's wrong. I'm just being honest. We're talking about truth is this morning. Something is wrong. We should be progressing in our faith. We should always be striving to be better. We should always be looking at saying, man, I know I'm not perfect, but I know I'm not what I used to be. Tests sometimes are necessary to demonstrate the moral fitness to do the assignment that we were called to do. How about this test? Noah, I want you to build an ark about half the size of a cruise ship. Some people say that it never rained. Some people say that, you know, I'm not into that part of it. But rain was not the main thing that they got at that time. But what was coming was not common. Everybody thought Noah was crazy till he wasn't. Till it started raining. Can you imagine 120 years of people laughing at you? 120 years of people scoffing at you saying, man, this dude has done lost his ever-loving mind. But I'm building this ship. Why are you building this ship? Because it's going to rain. What's going to happen when it rains? It's going to flood, and all y'all are going to die. Man, you crazy. You are crazy. 1 Peter 4:12 says this, beloved, do not think it strange. I'm reading you the Bible this morning. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, not kill you, as though some strange thing happened to you. The three Hebrew boys, they said, even if God doesn't bring me out of this, we are not going to bow. Even if, I said this a few weeks ago, we got to have an even if faith. Even if you never faith. Come on, that's what's going to take us from one level to the next. And we say, even if God, I don't see it today or see it tomorrow or see it next week, I'm going to believe you. They didn't bow, and they got promoted after that. Testing always doesn't always mean failing. You also have the opportunity to succeed and faithfully prove the God inside of you. If you keep success in your life, guess what's going to happen? People are going to want to be around you. When they start seeing you're not just talking the talk, but you're walking the walk, they're going to be attracted to you after that. So many times they don't see the God in us enough. Oh, come on, y'all. They don't see the God in us enough to want what we have, the joy that we have. Temptation comes to everyone from the greatest to the least. Jesus, probably one of the greatest right there, right? Probably the greatest. Wilderness, he won. Joseph with Potiphar's wife, he won. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says this, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. David, a man after God's own heart, went out on the roof one day, and he saw him a fine-looking girl about two roofs over. Roof, is that even a country word? But he saw her over there, and he brought her in. He failed. But he still called to God, a man after God's own heart. Samson failed, but he repented. And he allowed, God allowed him to use to defeat his enemies. Peter failed. How many times? Three times. Probably more than that. Yet God chose him to be the leader and to stand up in those days in the upper room and say, something different's changing. Don't let failure, misstep, or any kind of things disqualify you. God's mercy is bigger than your mistakes. And you say this, I'm the only one battling this. I guess I'm the only one going through this. Everybody is doing it. And because we get a mentality of all those things, we don't talk about it or we pretend it doesn't exist. What happens there, that results in failure and defeat. The reality is this. Everyone is struggling in one way or the other. Somebody may be struggling worse than the other person. Maybe you've overcome. You're in the farther along in the process. You've gotten to a place where this is no longer a struggle for me. Praise God. Come on, you need to thank God every day that that's not your struggle. But some of us are still going through these things. But God is merciful and he's forgiving. And can I tell you one thing? What you're hiding from God, he already knows. Jesus knows. You ever seen that little picture of Jesus peeking around the corner? He's peeking around the corner of your life because he's with you every day. Help me, Lord. If we lived our life knowing Jesus was right here, would we say what we say? Where would we go where we go? Would we entertain what we entertain? I absolutely probably don't think so. Hebrews says this, Jesus knows. He knows what we're going through. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. God always prepares his people to overcome if we will trust in him and if we will lean on him. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others have experienced. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out. Escape, one version says, so that you can endure it. So I'm asking the question, how do we overcome temptation? Glad you asked. Discipline is your friend. How do you lose weight? Discipline is your friend. How do you start a workout period? Discipline. I love to work out for like 2 days. And after that third day, I'm starting to hurt a little bit. I'm like, okay, I don't really want to. But discipline is your friend. Although it's difficult, discipline is a temporary discomfort that leads to long-term successes. Practical things we have to change, and we start to have to ask ourselves questions. What happened to me in my past? Come on. I'm going to ask you here in just a few minutes to come to this altar, not just as a salvation, but maybe it's a healing point. What happened in my past that keeps me going back to this? What are you still dealing with that something happened maybe 10 years ago that still rears its ugly head in your life every single day? God wants us to let it go. Let it go. I know that's easy for you to say, Pastor. No, it's not. Because there's things I've had to let go that weren't easy. There's things I've had to take my clenched fists off of and say, There's things that God had to, Dylan had to not just take my clothes. He had to pry. Ouch. He had to pry my fingers off of that thing because I didn't want to give it up. Come on, the Holy Spirit is prying on you this morning. And he's talking to you about that thing you've been holding on to is holding you up. You're not alone. Take it to God. And here's the big thing. Be responsible. We can't blame everything on everybody forever. I talk to so many people, well, you don't know what my dad did to me. You don't know what my mom did to me. You don't know what my mom did to me. You don't know what my mom did to me. I'm repeating that because I had to let that go. You don't know what my family did to me. Again, I am not diminishing anything that you've gone through, that you're still dealing with. There's a time that you have to say, God, I release this to you. I want to take my pride hands off of this thing, and I don't want it. God, I'm tired. Anybody ever get tired of battling? I've had to tell the Lord the things in my own life. I'm just tired of battling this. I'm tired of going through this. And the more tired you get of it, God will start releasing you of it more and more and more. I'm telling you, when you start releasing everything to him, he gets you to the other side of it. You got to talk to somebody you trust. Don't tell everybody your story. Don't tell everybody your stuff. Not everybody don't like you. Come on, I'm helping somebody out here. We want to tell everybody our story. We want to tell everybody our struggle. There are some people out there that ain't for you, that'll use it against you in the court of law, their court of law. Find you someone that you can trust, that you know that you can take it to and say, hey, listen, I'm struggling with this. Somebody that'll walk alongside of you and say, I'm going to help you with this right here because I know you're going. So many times men, especially men, we don't help us, Lord. We don't talk about it because we're afraid to talk about it. Afraid somebody's going to judge us. We're afraid somebody's going to look down upon us. But there's freedom when you find that person. Right, Jay? There's freedom when you find those brothers that you can go to and say, hey, I'm struggling. I know you're struggling. I am too. Carry my mat. So that's freedom this morning when you start releasing things. So find you somebody you trust. The most overlooked thing is get along with God. Get in that space with God to say, okay, God, I'm turning off the distractions. My phone is not going to be the first thing I grab when I get out of bed every morning. Come on, I'm guilty of that one. It beeped a few times last night. I got to see. Jesus said, taste and see that I'm good first. Then your Facebook marketplace will show up. Get alone and let God and let him dig deep inside of you. Some of us, here's some practical things that are very simple. Some of us need to change some of our relationships, change our friends, change who we hang out with. Some of us easily just need to guard what we see, what we hear. Come on. You have to guard regular TV. Oh, Pastor, you're jumping all over our toes this morning. I have to guard myself sometimes when these commercials come on. I'm like, oh, in Jesus' name. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm not wrong. You have to guard what you see and what you hear. You have to guard with what you say. Is it helping somebody or is it tearing somebody down? If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say it. But we love to tear people down. You know why we tear people down? Makes us feel better. Right? Oh, I'm going to quit meddling here. I'm almost done. The way to overcome temptation is this. It's not firmly planting your feet on the ground and resolving to stand strong. Temptation is not a chance to see if you can resist it or not. It's a chance to know that God can keep you from falling into it. If you keep your eyes on him, Peter was doing great when he went out of the boat. He took even a few steps, didn't he, Eric? But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. We got to keep your eyes on the prize. You got to keep your eyes where it needs to be, on Jesus. Because when you start looking out, because so many times we're looking that way and the distractions come about us, do this and do this and do this and do this. And before too long, we're sinking and we're failing and falling. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Y'all would stand with me, please. This morning, even in your life, the enemy maybe has been tempting you to believe there's not a God. Or maybe he's caused you to doubt that if God did it once, he could do it again. Jesus is here this morning to show himself real to you. So many times we can't get changed with God because we won't be real with God. God is looking for the unadulterated version of you. Not the one you show to everyone else. Not the one that you look good on the outside, but the real you. Maybe you've never experienced that change with Christ, and you need a change. You need to start over with, maybe you've never experienced it in the first place. This morning, this is your day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. Maybe you've had a lot of temptations in your life. Maybe you failed at some of those. Maybe you're still failing. He's here today to forgive, to restore, to heal all of those mistakes. Some were mistakes and some were choices. You heard me say that before. I made a lot of mistakes in my life, but I made a lot of bad choices that I had the opportunity to not make, and I made them anyway. But those are the ones the enemy wants to keep talking to you about, keep rehearsing in your mind. And today God says, I want to free you from that. These altars are going to be open. We're going to have people to pray with you if you need prayer. As they sing this song, I'm going to ask you, if you would, if you've been going through something. Listen, there's no shame in our game. Maybe you've been going through some temptations. There's healing around the altar up here. There's healing waters around his altar. We'll pray with you. Maybe you're being tested right now. Maybe you're going through a season in your life. You're thinking, man, I'm really not doing that bad, but the enemy keeps... Maybe it's not always him. God is testing you to take you to another level. So as we get ready to sing this song, the altars are going to be open to anyone who needs prayer.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.